This is Jim Inkster, and a special treat as we start today's program. The venerable and vivacious Smiley Anders is in the house, and it is not just any day. This is June 4th, and it not only is June 4th, it is June 4th, 2019, which means 40 years ago today. Four decades ago today, the column began. Smiley Anders began writing columns in The Advocate, and Smiley, back in the year of 1979, you probably thought, oh, this might last for a few months.
By the way, I like vivacious. I'm not sure about venerable, but I'll accept vivacious for sure.
You got the V's covered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I was doing business news, and they said, let's give this a shot and give the readers a little more chance to interact with the newspaper, tell their little stories and stuff that's not exactly news, but might be interesting to somebody, and open up the pages a little bit more.
And the column, in many ways, resembles Herb Cain in San Francisco, a legendary writer.
We had an editor from the West Coast, and he was a great admirer of Cain and wanted to start something like that. Of course, San Francisco is a lot more going on than Baton Rouge, but we've been very lucky with the readers reacting to writing the column for me, which I really appreciate.
Say so. 6 days a week, Smiley is front page of the Metro section, and his column is now finding a new audience with readers in New Orleans who, up until a few years ago, may not have known about you, but they know you now.
It's we're very grateful to the Times-Picayune people for cutting back and giving us a chance to move, the Advocate a chance to move into that area. And I've doubled my number of readers now. And if you read the column any day, there's got to be one or two, at least, from the New Orleans area, the North Shore, Slidell, Covington, all that. It's really been great.
Will it be in the Picayune when the new newspaper is
reconfigured? Yeah, we're going to have a double masthead, Picayune Advocate. It's going to look odd for a while. They'll probably combine the names at some time, although Advocate Picayune sounds a little odd, but I don't know. But, yeah, I'm in the combined newspaper, and really enjoy. I've discovered that the New Orleans people are just as weird as the Baton Rouge and Lafayette people. So it's been really helpful to me. A lot of letters and stuff coming in.
Why do you think it caught on the way it did?
It gives people a chance to get away from the horrid news, the really bad stuff. We don't deal with politics and except just to, you know, very, very lightly, and we try to keep it light and not very serious, but just give people a chance to tell stories that they're interested in. Of course, one story generates another. We'll get on some subject, and we've been on Louisiana coffee, for instance.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a coffee story about being out of state and not being able to get real coffee, and how they cope with that.
Smiley Anders, 40 years, columnist for The Advocate, long career in journalism before then. He is a man who was, I think, 42 years old when your column, 41. So you've written the column almost as long as you've been alive, or you were alive prior to starting it. That's
sobering right. Thought. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it does make me sound extremely old. I guess I am extremely old.
Well, not extremely old. Right in your prime. Smiley Gray Anders, born in Natchez, Mississippi, 20 November 1937, and came to Baton Rouge when you were 8 years old. And one of his running mates as a young man was a fellow named Billy Ab Cannon.
Yeah. A Struma guy, yeah.
Now, Billy says you copied off his paper.
No. You know, actually, I guess that's true. He sat behind me. He sat in front of me in, I think it was American History. And he's a bright kid. And, I confess to peeping over his shoulder, but kind of big shoulders. It was hard to see over him, but I'd get an answer or two from him ever so often.
Well, he died May 20th of last year and left a huge void in this community. And what a life of ups and downs he had. But in the end, I think he made peace with anybody he ever offended. And he was one of those guys who was really hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Oh, yeah,
what a beautiful
nice,
man.
Nice guy.
And he was a nice guy.
Had some ups and downs, of course, but...
And he acknowledged right in that same chair where you're sitting that when he was a young man, he was a thug. That's the word he used.
Yeah. But he was his bad kid. He was always a bright kid, and but he just got in with some bad people.
What a great athlete. Under the tutelage of Alvin Roy on Oklahoma Street, that gym, if the walls could talk, of course now there are no walls. It's been torn down, but many athletes from all over the world came there to train under Alvin Roy, who is known not so affectionately in professional football as the father of steroids.
Yeah, right. Nobody knew what they were, but. We had some big kids coming out of his place, that's for sure.
And some great athletes came out of Baton Rouge and in that era, Billy Cannon, Bob Pettit, Jimmy Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have no idea whether they had pharmaceutical help, but whatever they were doing, they were superhuman
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
And Alvin Roy was into weightlifting when weightlifting was considered something that would actually impede rather than excel an athlete.
I recall when Cannon came back to school after his – freshman year, that sophomore year, he had changed so much. He was a man when he came back after that work of that, summer with Alvin.
Well, we've told this story before, but it's worth mentioning again. Billy and Smiley were at Estruma High together, but also were at LSU together.
Yeah.
And as fate would have it, on that night of October 31, 1959, when Billy Cannon raced 89 yards for a touchdown to beat Ole Miss 7-3 in the most famous play in the history of LSU football, Smiley Anders played a part in it, didn't he?
I was down there. I was spotting for a UPI photographer. For you young folks, UPI was United Press International, which was a wire service, very much like Associated Press. And the photographer always hired an LSU kid to keep track of the numbers of players and then the yards and all this so he could write his cut line. And I was down there. I was a grad student, and I was down. I think I got $25 or $50 for doing that. And I was on the sidelines. Happened to be the same sidelines he ran down.
He ran right by you, didn't he?
Huh?
He ran right by you.
Right, yeah.
And I
right
look at the
us.
Film and I say, there's Smiley.
Yeah, right. I probably am in it. Gosh, I never spotted me. But, I was right there. And I was excited. It wasn't very professional because I'm yelling, hey, come on, Billy. And, I'm supposed to be working for wire service.
Yeah, unbiased and, reporter.
We're supposed to be very objective.
Go. It's like Paul Dietzel had this rule that his players could not take a punt inside the 20. And Billy got one at the 11, and he's supposed to take a knee.
Yeah.
And instead, he went down the field, and his biographer, Billy's biographer, Charles D. Gravel, said Dietzel was yelling, no. And then all of a sudden, he's going, go. And that he did.
People forget that. Dietzel was very, very conservative. They would do things like, punt on third down and let the defense play. And he was very defense-oriented. And that was a really –
And looking at those old films, Dietzel, 1958, he was 34 years old and looked like he was just cast right out of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
6'4".
Oh, yeah.
Pastel blue eyes, beautiful blonde golden hair.
Absolute Paul. Yeah.
And he wore these immaculate suits. I hear he brought two suits to the game so he could change at halftime.
Wow.
And he was very meticulous, and his teams had that kind of meticulous approach. And they were very successful, as we know.
Yeah.
But you were editor of the Reveille.
We did a 100-year edition. We did a 100-page Reveille for the 100th year of LSU in 1959. I was in grad school then, and was editor of that, which was kind of fun. Put it out on the homecoming day in 1959 to mark the 100th anniversary of the school. And
some of your colleagues, Rex Reed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rex was in school with me. Yeah. And he was editor after I was.
Became the top film critic in the world. And I gained new respect for Rex when he panned the only movie he was ever in. He said it was one of the worst movies.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah,
Myra Breckinridge. Yeah.
I was never able to watch. I started watching it one time and gave up about a quarter of the way through. It was too much.
It was not Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which, of course, was filmed here in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, yeah.
30 years ago it opened, and the rest for Steven Soderbergh, as they say, is history. And Smiley Anders, 40 years ago today, began writing his column, and we'll talk more with this amazing man of letters after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster, and we're joined again by Smiley Anders on the 40th anniversary of his column in The Advocate, and not many people survive in journalism for 20 years or 30 years, much less 40, and Smiley's done it in the same place, and he was an employee of The Advocate before he started writing the column. This man who's native of Natchez, LSU Hall of Famer in the journalism school, and also for a while was a business writer and worked for the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. You have had an interesting past.
Yeah, I did. I couldn't hold a job. So I bounced around for a while, Chamber of Commerce here in Baton Rouge, Farm Bureau for about 3 years in the 60s. Really enjoyed that. It's a good organization.
And we have commented that on the day that President Kennedy was assassinated, Friday, 22 November 1963, Smiley was at the Farm Bureau.
Yeah,
on Airline Highway, where it's still located.
That's right, yeah.
And you went to revisit the day at none other than Chris's Bar and had a few fish bowls that afternoon.
Yeah, I was driving downtown. I was going to lunch, or it would have been a late lunch, I suppose. But I remember driving and hearing the news on the radio. And, of course, all they said at first was that he was shot. And then as the afternoon went on, you know, we discovered he was dead. And I didn't go back to work or call in or anything. I just, you know, I just couldn't work. So wound up at Chris's. A lot of my friends who also worked in that area joined me, just showed up, and we all sat around that whole afternoon. And so
that was on North 19th, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, sure was.
Now, I worked downtown in the 80s and 90s, and it was dead. Yeah. And it's alive now, and it was alive in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it hit a bad spot there, but yeah, downtown's been amazing. Of course, I lived there, and in Spanish Town, and we've seen it go from being almost a slum to really you can't hardly get a house there.
Yeah, and it has been gentrified, as they say.
Yeah.
And you're the king of University Walk, one of the great streets in Spanish Town, and you lived on Lucilla Lane for a while.
Yeah, Lucilla. Yeah, everybody thinks I said Drusilla, but it's just Lucilla. It's a little one-block street, got, I don't know, 8 or 10 houses on it. So.
And there are always characters in Spanish Town.
Oh, my gosh. We've had some. You could write a book.
Well, on one of his early appearances on this show, Smiley said that he was growing marijuana in his backyard on the air. And when he gets home, you said there were a lot of people at your house. And I said, cops? He goes, no, neighbors.
Yeah, I remember you had a master gardener there. And I was kind of halfway listening. And either she asked me or you asked me, did I grow anything? And I just blurted that out. So I don't know if people actually believed me or not. But
of course it was a lie.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
What makes a good journalist, Smiley?
Curiosity, I think. You just have to want to know what makes things happen, and also objectivity. Everybody has opinions, but you sort of learn to put yours on the back seat and listen to other people and get the story. And I think maybe just in reading everything that comes along. I started out even as a kid just an avid reader.
Now, in the Gridiron Show, of which you've been a staple for many years and returned this year, We have some great journalists who are now, for the most part, public relations specialists. They've moved to the other side because the hours are better, the pay is better, and the stress is lower.
Right.
But Smiley, you left, went to PR, and came back. Not many people do that, but why?
I always wanted to be in newspaper work, and I enjoyed. I was with the Chamber when the Advocate asked me to start a business desk because I was doing a business publication for the Chamber. And the Advocate at that time didn't have a business writer as a separate beat. They were just covering business news, just whoever was there would cover business stories. So they asked me in 73, and I took a $2,000 a year cut to go in pay to go with the Advocate just because I wanted to get back in newspaper.
1973, 46 years ago. Yeah. And to put that in perspective, that would be probably like taking a $10,000 cut in pay today.
It's laughing. Last I saw that wife, when she discovered that I had taken a $2,000 cut, she was out of there.
She knew you were insane then.
Yeah, right, so absolutely.
Time to get the heck out of Dodge. Get away from this guy. He's not going to be a good provider. But,
for sure.
But you definitely.
And I wasn't.
You've stayed the course, though, and not many people can say they have written a column for 40 years. You are in an elite crew. You're in rarefied air when it comes to this, and I asked why it was successful. What about the longevity?
I think it's just the fact that the people I work for have, I guess they're going to keep me on until I get it right, because they haven't said anything about leaving, and, of course, we changed owners from the Manships, who'd been awfully good to me over the years, and I was a little apprehensive when John Georges bought the Advocate, but he and his entourage came in the office one day and met me, you know, shook hands, and he said, keep doing what you're doing, and walked out. And so I can do that. I can keep doing what I'm doing as long as they'll have me. And so they haven't told me to go away, so I guess I'll
and
stay.
And it is to their credit, too, because...
I like to think so.
Yeah, a lot of times people change just for the sake of changing. Yeah. In this case, they knew they had a jewel in Smiley Gray Anders. Lee Polichuk, who's the news director at Channel 2, he told me that people read The Advocate for basically your column. That's his belief. Of course, he's a TV guy, but it is when people conjure up an image in their mind of The Advocate, probably the first face they think of is Smiley Gray Anders Jr.
Well, it's
what did your parents do?
My dad was with Swift & Company, the meat company. He was a salesman with them and manager, had a number of roles, Baton Rouge, Clarksdale, Mississippi, and then wound up in New Orleans at the district office, and his name was Smiley.
I know.
And he was kind of a traveling salesman for a while, and you can imagine a traveling salesman named Smiley. He was a backslapper, a glad hander, dirty joke teller, you know, just a character.
You didn't inherit any of those traits, did you?
Just a character. Yeah, he really was.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned a previous wife. Well, you've been with Lady Catherine for many years.
Yeah.
And she has been a jewel in your life.
Over 20, yeah. We were neighbors in Spanish Town. And
Didn't even know that you had a thing until you were holding her hand one night and realized there was some chemistry there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We had you know, gone out with groups of people, never really dated as such. And just one night we were there. Actually, it was Christmas night. We, you know, just sitting on the porch. We'd cook some steaks. Our families had gone elsewhere, so we were just by ourselves, the two of us. And as neighbors, you know, she came over. I said, let's cook some steaks for Christmas dinner. And that night we were sitting on the swings, and it just dawned on me. You know, I'd like to spend the rest of my life with this lady.
Kind of like the column.
Yeah.
You've been blessed a couple of times.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
And as far as journalists, is there a journalist who made a great impression on you?
A journalist? No. Oh, yeah. I mean, just I've met so many. Calvin Trillin, great writer for The New Yorker for years. Pete Hamill in New York. Of course, Andy Rooney was... known as kind of a TV character. He was also a hell of a writer.
He was.
Art Buchwald was a good columnist. Molly Ivins, a great, the only liberal columnist in Texas, I suppose, at one time. And she was a character. And so I've met many along the way. David Broder, who was a syndicated columnist, William Raspberry. And I've been able to meet a lot of them.
Well, you're in their number, and you won the Herb Kane Award so many times nationally that they quit giving away the award because it was about to become the Smiley Gray Anders Jr. Award.
I like to think so. Yeah, they did do away with the award. I'm not sure that was the reason, but yeah, I was lucky enough to win it a number of times.
Well, it's always an honor to share the microphone with you, and let's keep it going at least for another year to 41, and we'll, if things go according to plan, see you on November 20th when Smiley turns 82.
Good night. That sounds old, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, good. I'll see you. That's a date. See you then.